remember hearing somebody talk about somebody else and say he has a face that would stop a clock. But Larry, when I consider who's been looking at the clock today, Larry and I have been facing it, I think I'll just drop that and go on. We're glad that you're here tonight. The lesson this evening is somewhat like a commencement exercise at the end of a school year. It's an end and it's a beginning. We are finishing a series of lessons from 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7, where the King James Version says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Other versions, maybe in a little bit better way, translate that, your faith supplies virtue, and virtue supplies knowledge. And knowledge supplies self-control, and self-control supplies patience, and patience supplies godliness, and godliness supplies brotherly love, and brotherly love supplies love, with the idea of one growing out of another. I think all of you would agree with me tonight that if we take the foundation of faith and those seven qualities of growth that are listed here and put those into our lives, that we will not be far afield from where God would have us be. This is almost a complete list, at least in general terms, that would include other things maybe as subtopics of where God wants us to be and what he wants us to do. The reason that I say that somewhat like a commencement is, at the time that we are ending this series with a lesson on love tonight, I'm beginning another on the subject of love. I plan to preach on Sunday evenings the rest of the year on the subject of love. It will probably be about seven lessons. Kevin will be preaching some. There's possibility of others. But some six or seven lessons on the subject of love. I want us to really look at that. If you noticed in the bulletin this week, we announced the lesson tonight as the perfect girdle. Larry called me when he found out he was going to be leading singing tonight and wanted to get the subject in order to get his songs ready. And he said, and what are you preaching Sunday night? And I said, the perfect girdle. And I could just see his face on the other end of the line. But when I told him what it was about, he had no difficulty in finding the songs. The reason for the subject tonight grows out of some search into other versions and translations on some of the verses that we're using in connection with the subject of love. Over in Colossians, the third chapter and verse 14, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness or perfectness. The latter part of that verse is translated, according to the 26 versions of the Bible, in the 20th century New Testament like this. Above all things, put on love, for that is the girdle which makes all complete. That is the girdle. Love is the girdle which makes all complete. I did a little bit of research on this word that's translated bond in one translation and girdle in another, and found that the definition says it is that which holds all things together. And I thought I might say at the first of the lesson that I'm not using the word and the word that it is normally used, but I'm not for sure. It is that which holds all things together. It is that which binds all things together. I want to do two things tonight as we bring this series on the so-called Christian graces to an end and begin a series of love, our own love. One, I want us to see exactly where God places love in the scheme of everything. And number two, to try to see why he places it there. In this passage where we have these seven qualities mentioned, you notice that love is the last and at the top. After everything else is mentioned, then he mentions love. And he says when you have your faith and then faith grows and each of these is produced, then out of all of this is going to come love. And maybe involved in all of this and in the entire process of it is love itself. In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 13, known by almost all of us, is the statement, "Now abideth these, faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." At least twice here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, and in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible uses the word above, "And above all things, love." Or above all things, let love be among the brethren. Now notice what's said in these passages. And we will immediately see where God places love in the scheme of everything. It's at the top of the list in the seven qualities of growth added to our faith. It is said to be the greatest of the three things mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13, 13. And it is said to be above all things as far as what is needed in relationships. Folks, that's where God puts love. I'm not for sure that there is another subject in the Bible that ought to ever be put above it. We talk about the grace of God, and I have difficulty separating the love and the grace of God. I realize they mean different things in different ways, and yet they are so associated with each other that it's hard to separate them. And God's grace comes out of his love, or his love comes out of his grace. They're associated with each other. The love of God is at the top of the list. It is that which binds everything else together. It is the girdle which makes everything perfect, or everything complete, using the word perfect in that sense. If we look at two or three different types of relationships tonight, I think we can see why this is the case, why the emphasis is placed on love as it is in the Bible. First, let's look at that beloved passage of John 3:16. The word love is used in that passage in a way that sort of sums up everything that God has done and is doing for us. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." One of the things that we need to do in another part of this verse as we're talking to people is to help them to understand all that's involved in that word "believeth," and how it is inclusive of obedience and everything that we are to do in God's direction. And one way to do that is to help people to see what's involved from God in our direction in that word "love." God so loved the world. That means more than just an emotion. That certainly means more than a feeling. In fact, I submit to you tonight that if you really go back and look at everything that God has done from the beginning of the world, and even before the beginning of the world, when some of his plans were made, Ephesians 3, 9 through 12, that you will see the love of God is involved in all of that and in everything. God's love caused him to make plans to bring Christ upon the scene. God's love helped him to keep the lineage pure through Old Testament times and do many things that's difficult for me to understand how they fit in, but to believe is easy, that they fit into the overall purpose and thread of God's history through the Old Testament times. All of this was done out of the love of God for man. He brought Christ to this earth, his only begotten Son, out of love. Let that Son live and be persecuted out of his love. Let that Son go to the cross and die on the cross and shed his blood because of the love of God. Let the church be established, the way of salvation be made possible, heaven be there for the eternal home. Everything that God did before Christ came, everything that he did through the life of Christ and the death of Christ, and everything that he has done since that time is all bound together in that concept of love. God so loved the world. What does that mean? That means everything that God's ever done for us and everything that he'll ever do for us. We could make list after list, item after item, topic following topic, and yet all of it is summed up in this idea: God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So you begin to see why we can say that love is at the top of the list. But let's look at it from another angle. This time noticing Matthew 22, beginning at verse 37, where Jesus was asked about the greatest commandment. And the first of the two commandments he gave dealt with man's relationship to God, or man's reaction back to God relative to that love that is shown in the direction of man. And he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Luke's account adds, with all thy strength. Now, if you and I were asked what the greatest commandment is, we might begin and make a list of one after the other. We might have expected Christ to make a long list when he only gave two. But as he talked about man's relationship to God, he even went ahead and said, on this, or this is the fulfillment of everything that's happened before. This is the fulfillment even of that that was in the law. Number one, what do you need to do toward God? You need to love him. You need to love him. Well, now, what's involved in that word? Do we need to be obedient to God? Certainly we do. Should we worship God from the bottom of our hearts? We all agree that that's a part of it. Should we serve and be involved in his kingdom and his work on a regular basis? It was before ordained that we should walk in good works, be involved in good works. Ephesians 2:10, mentioned again and again in the book of Titus. And we could take the time and we could list one item after another that we as human beings in living the Christian life to serve God ought to be doing. And yet, love is what binds all those together and sort of sums it up. I could say to you tonight, if you will love God, you will be pleasing in the sight of God. Now, it is sad that sometimes there are those who interpret that to mean, if I have a feeling in my heart toward God, then that makes everything all right. If I sincerely say that I love God, that makes everything all right. That's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about the fact that when we use the word love in its true sense and its comprehensive sense, that it binds everything we do together and includes everything that we do in the direction of God, so that we can say with Christ, that first great commandment that has to do with our relationship to God is to love him. And so in that sense, it is the girdle that brings everything together, or it is the bond or the binding together. Another version translates it as a chain that links things together. It is that which just brings everything together in this one concept of our relationship to God is really a relationship of love. And then Jesus gave a second commandment here in Matthew 22 when he said, the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And I think we could get the point out of that verse that we're making in dealing with man-to-man relationships. But I want to go to another passage, again from the words of the Apostle Paul. In Romans 13, verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Then in verse 9, he mentions some of the Ten Commandments, some of the commandments that were given in the law, and says, if there be any other, it is comprehended in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Notice he says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled. Love is the fulfilling. And he's talking about man-to-man relationships. He's talking about how we treat each other and how we treat the property of one another. And he says, all of this is summed up in love. The last song that we sang a few minutes ago, how sweet, how heavenly is the sight when those that love the Lord. You notice some of the statements that were made in that. It was talking about how when we love each other, we're fulfilling what God wants us to do. And fulfilling, if you turn that around, is filling full. It's filling it full. It is the completeness of it. It is that that binds it together. Now here again, if we were to begin to make a list of all the things that we could and might and should do toward one another tonight, it would be a long list. Benevolent acts. Mission works. You could mention some, others could mention others. We'd have a long list of these different things, different programs, for example, that we use in the work of the church. to reach inwardly to one another and to reach outwardly to those in the community. And yet he says love is really the summation of it all. Love is the fulfilling of all of this. And if you'll just learn to love one another, here again, I think sometimes this concept is not fully understood. And we may stop short of what the Bible is talking about in love, but if we really learn to love each other in the Bible concept of it, that would be enough. Because we would include these other ideas that are so necessary in our dealings with one another. Suppose I was performing a wedding ceremony, and I turned to the groom and I said, "Do you promise to love her?" And he said, "Yes." And I turned to the bride and said, "Do you promise to love him?" And she said, "Yes." Would I not have received the answer to really every question that I might ask them specifically? Some of you might like to have some short wedding ceremonies like that. But really, if you look at the Bible, doesn't Ephesians 5 say that the husband is to love the wife as Christ loved the church? How much did Christ love the church? Completely. What did he do for the church? You know the answer. And so if the husband loves the wife in the same way that the Savior loved the church, does that not include it all? What about support, comfort, provision, protection, guidance, leadership? Well, isn't all of that, or aren't all of those involved in the concept of love? And so you see here again, in the family relationship, between two friends, among friends, within the community, in every relationship that we have, it comes right back down to this, that love is the girdle that binds it all together. It is that bond of completeness. And everything is summed up in that word when we really understand what the concept means from the Bible itself. And then there is a fourth approach that I want us to think about tonight over in 1 John, the fourth chapter and verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect. You see, this is on the subject. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. The next several verses go ahead and give some other ideas about the subject of love. But notice he says, here is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. How do you get ready to face God in the day of judgment? Just love. Just love, in the sense that it is used in his word. How can we approach the idea that one of these days we'll be face to face with our Maker, who knows everything that we've ever done, said, or thought, who has a record of every deed and a record of every sin, unless he has forgiven it through the blood of Christ? We're going to be there to give an account of the things done in the body. Could not God ask one question and cover it all? Could he not look us square in the face and say, "How have you loved?" And really touch everything that's involved? How have you loved? How have you lived? That's another way of saying it. What have you done in life? How have you served God? How have you served your fellow man? It's all summed up in this concept of love when we really understand what the biblical concept of love is. God so loved the world, that includes everything he's ever done for our good. We are to love God with all the heart, soul, mind, and spirit and strength. That includes every idea that's involved in our worship and adoration and service to God. We are to love one another. And that concept of love includes every action, reaction, and interaction that's involved among human beings. And we're to be ready to meet God at the day of judgment, but he says it's the love that will make us perfect and make us ready for that time to meet him. I believe we're drawing the right conclusion, that love is the girdle that makes all complete. And what you and I need to do is to learn more about what it means to love. and practice it more than we ever have, and grow in the degrees of expressions of love and actions of love to God and to one another. Love is the bond of perfectness, or perfectness. It is the girdle that makes everything complete. You remember John the Baptist had a leathern girdle, some sort of a belt-type garment. When all other clothes were put on, they put that around, and it held everything in place. And we're even told to gird ourselves as different subjects are being discussed. This is the idea, that it's that love that we're to have for God, that complete love, and for one another, that binds it all together and makes it complete. Have I discussed the plan of salvation already tonight? Yes, not in detail, but it's included in love. When the Bible teaches us that we're to have faith and we're to repent and confess His name, be obedient and being baptized into Him for the blood of Christ to cleanse us, all of that's involved in our love for God. In fact, Jesus Himself said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. John 14:15, and also verse 23 of that chapter. If you love me, keep my commandments. Have we talked about what's involved in being restored to our first love? Yes. Although we have not mentioned repentance and confession and prayer, we've talked about it in this word love, which is the concept that brings it all together. And I would simply say this to you tonight, that if you really, really love God, you will be obedient to Him. You understand the plan of salvation, and you have so far turned your back on that. How can you say you love God? And if you need to repent of something and confess it publicly, or confess any sin and you continue in it and do not do what you know you need to do, how can you say that you love God? Love is the thing that brings it all together. I believe that if you're not a Christian tonight, or a wayward child of God, and you can really say you love God, that you'll be ready to do something about it by coming as together we stand and sing.